You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The crew is here, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Thank you for that logic and affirmation, sir. I appreciate that. Appreciate you, bro.
All right.
My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
I am doing all right. Thanks for asking. Thanks. I got a click today, so I can't.
All right, never mind. You're right. We had some technical issues, but Lone is versatile, so
I'm not used to it.
Yeah, it's been a while. My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good your way?
Yep, sometimes you got to take one for the team.
And sometimes you just have to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful portal hopping. Mm-hmm. We'll say that. Good to see you, gentlemen, coming off of, holiday 3-day weekend.
Was it really?
Well, for me, it was.
It's weird because, like, when people say, oh, it's the weekend or we got three, I was like, I never feel that because of the business I'm in. But,
yeah.
I didn't see any dumb flyers.
Oh, I did. I saw some.
Did y'all see some?
Oh, yeah.
You missed the whole wave then.
Because, I must have missed the wave I wasn't looking for them.
Yes.
And a dumb statue that was erected in Boston, I believe.
That was so hard. Like,
I'm so glad you said
that. A minute. I didn't know if it was like somebody's legs and somebody's head, or I eventually did see that it was like
his
daughter. But
no, it's his wife.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hugging Coretta.
Oh, yeah.
My thing is, after I saw the side by side, it didn't make it better for me.
No, it didn't.
It didn't make it better for me at all.
I understood it. At least
you got where they were trying to go.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it was a
good
statue.
When you stand back and look at that thing,
that's poor execution.
That ain't it, man.
Like, I don't know what artistic mind thought that two arms embracing was just going to be the statue to honor Dr. Martin Luther King. It makes no sense.
And there are some Martin Luther King statues that are actually cold. The one on the mall is cold.
We got one here.
We got that's cold. This one at Anderson is cold. Like, I've seen statues where he's been. You know, it's proper, like it's a nice look, it's respectable. Man. Us being creatives as well, it's like I don't wanna be that person to get on the art, but I gotta keep it a buck when I see it. And I just couldn't make sense of it, man. I was like, Freddie Gibbs was like, they need to pull that down. Take that down right now. Mm. What you think, Jay Moore, when you saw that?
I
be honest now.
I'll just be honest because maybe it translates better if you're there to see it in person, but seeing pictures of it, I'm sorry. It just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I would have, if they'd have done a smaller statue and it was actually him and Coretta in an embrace, I think that would, you know, because
that would have been fire.
They both spent time in Boston, so there's a connection there with Dr. King and history with he and his wife and the city of Boston, but gosh, man, I try to give anything artistic the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
But this just didn't translate for me in the picture. I know it's supposed to be but like it's hard not, like someone said, it looks like the part of Baby Boy where Ving Rhames is choking.
I saw that one.
Tyrese, and I'm like, oh, why is that? Why is that now? What's going to come to mind when I see this?
It's already floating around.
Looked
on
like a couple
memes.
Different things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, this just didn't do it for me. Shout out to the artist for making an attempt to do something different, but no.
Yeah.
At least he got a bag.
You hope so.
Yeah. Hopefully.
This looks like a lot of material.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying for all the.
I mean, as an artist, do you have to, if someone is, we'll call it, we'll just say is funding this or giving you the, like he said, a bag for it. You run this by someone that is funding it prior to make sure everybody gets clearance,
or just a friend.
Isn't usually how a friend, just, you know, somebody that'll tell you the truth.
That's objective.
Yeah. Hey man, what you think about this?
The family?
Yeah.
Perhaps. I don't think the family. You think the family saw it?
They saw now.
I'm talking about.
It's out there.
What was I going to ask? DJ Paul getting flack for not going to Boo's funeral. Did y'all see his response?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I had no problem with what he said.
Me either.
You know, all the way through.
First of all, you know, I don't think anyone would lie, especially someone like who would lie about paying for said funeral and making sure arrangements and things were taken care of. I mean, you can't ever tell someone how to grieve.
I agree.
There are some people who can do funerals, and I know some people who say that's not the last way I want to see somebody.
Yep.
I'd rather have whatever my last memory of them was of us personally hanging out or doing whatever. I don't want the last memory of me is seeing them at a funeral. So I get it. I try to always pay my respects.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, but it can wear on you if you've been to a lot of funerals.
Agreed.
Especially in a short amount of time. Okay. And some people, you know, it gets to a point where they just can't do it anymore. So I don't ever pretend to tell someone that they need to grieve one kind of way for that to make sense. So, you know, anybody who's, you know, and plus the internet just gives everybody a soapbox to say what they would do. And if I knew Gangsta Boo, you didn't know Gangsta Boo.
Yeah.
And you didn't know the relationship that she had with Paul and that Paul had with her. So
only they
ever,
know
you know. It's just like, you don't, just shut up.
Not yeah. for her. Yeah, what you think, Long? Go ahead, Long.
Yeah, same.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, the way I kind of look at it is like, you know, the person's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, funeral is like a celebration.
That's for the people
or not,
still here.
It's for the people that are here. So if you don't want to partake in that, then you don't want to partake in that. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I saw some people say, why bring up that you paid for it?
Well, he brought it up because people were giving him flack for it.
Yeah, they're like, you don't care. I mean, I was like,
it's like, I paid for it. What do you mean? Yeah, I don't care.
What do you mean I don't care? Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. I mean,
you got any thoughts, Terry, on that? Or was
I mean, essentially, the validation doesn't come from other attendees at the funeral if they're not direct family. And it seems like it was the ones who were just there expecting DJ Paul to be there that were saying something or seeing it on the internet or whatnot. So, I mean, if that's not your place to decide who and whatever or where they're supposed to be just because a funeral service is going on. People have things going on. Some people can't handle that type of situation. So, I mean, I understand.
And, you know, people, look, he said something that was very real. I think it was lost on a lot of people. It's like when I go places, people see me and they're not even thinking about me as a person.
Right.
Like there are people in my face as groupies at funerals at, you know, or wherever I am, you know, like I remember Stevie Wonder, I believe, told the story. Someone who was in his circle at the time, you know, when Minnie Riperton passed away, and he had done some work with her. So, you know, they had a relationship, and like I think he was a pallbearer or something in the funeral, and he said, while he was there, someone slipped him a tape. You know, it was like,
how rude is that?
You man? Know, but that's how people, like he said, that when you're famous, people don't see you as a person a lot of times. And so
opportunity,
you know, they're like, well, I'll never see him again like this. Let me go ahead and get my demo and let me see if Paul needs some beats. And it was like,
he said people would have been the last one he went to, people just kept coming up to him just to talk to him.
Yeah. So you got to understand, like a lot of times we forget that famous people are actually people. And like we treat them like every time this is supposed to be an industry connect or something. It's like, this is somebody's funeral. Could you please don't take any pictures and leave me alone. And if your experience has been like every time you go to a funeral, people are looking to link or to see as an opportunity for themselves. I wouldn't go to funerals either.
That ain't it. Yeah, that's definitely not it. What you say hold on for, man?
Man, I'm going to just leave it at that, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to read a comment from Benny, see what y'all think. There's most people who say rap is violent or don't like rappers talking about drugs will not listen to that same rapper if he or she makes what they deem to be positive music. So shut the F up and leave it to the people who like it. Did y'all catch that?
Mm-hmm.
What's he in reference to, though?
Just like when people talk about, oh, all y'all do is rap about drugs. All you do is rap about this. All you do is rap about that. And he's basically saying, well, if we didn't rap about that and tried to rap about something else, y'all wouldn't like it.
It ain't for everybody, though.
That's true.
I was just going to say, is he talking about this from a perspective of like people who aren't in hip hop that say this type of stuff, fans? Or is he talking, you know, like
I'm thinking Fox News,
or is he saying this like from an angle of like, you know, just
I'm looking at it
other hip hop fans?
I'm looking at it as the fans or the consumers. Like when people, because people always, we hear that a lot. All they do is talk about this. All they do is talk about that. That can be applied to, you know, multiple rappers if that's the case. So I think he's just defending his right to be able to rap about whatever he wants to rap about. And even the headline says, Benny the Butcher defends violent rap.
He says positive music turns fans off.
Is this an older thing? I feel like this happened a while ago.
Yeah, it was in December.
Was it? I think it was January or late December.
No, it was in late December.
Okay, I just remember this popping up.
What do you think, Jay Moore?
Look, we can talk about whatever market forces there are, and you know the agenda setting there is it happens within media, but I see what works in real time. And you know, everybody was like, well, I wish it was better. I wish it was this, that, and the third. Yeah, I bet you do. But you know what? The majority of the records that work, either talking about sex or talking about violence or talking about second violence. And that's not, and the thing is, we can't just, you know, say it's just hip hop, because what are the movies that work? Violent movies or movies about sex or sex and violence movies that have sex and violence. I mean, even with, you know, the, you know, what's considered family fare, which is, you know, Marvel and whatnot, there's still violent movies, very violent movies.
Everything is violence,
you know, and so
Disney movies are violent.
When, you know, when he says it, I was like, yeah, he's right, because people like to hear outlaw culture, and that fare has always been what drives pop culture. I mean, as much as, you know, I mean, they don't, it's not the same thing, because I don't feel like people are trying to live it, but, you know, we always talk about our, you know, when talk about Martin Scorsese movies, they always talk about Goodfellas, Casino.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's done other movies. He hasn't just done gangster movies, but those are the ones we talk about. So he's right. I mean, I wish there was a lane for more positive party. I mean, there is even the party inspired hip hop is still talking about, you know, popping this and we doing this and, oh, I'll catch you sliding on the ops. And these are supposed to be the fun songs.
I wish
there was more of a space where people were just having fun and enjoying themselves, but it always goes into sex and violence.
But what works? Go ahead, Alon. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I feel like that is what people enjoy. People, especially us, literally just talked about it on my special panel that I was on last week.
shout out to
my plug on Fox, where we talked about the violence of football. But no, yes. Literally, like, that was one of the talking points, is how us in the United States of America, we like violence.
Right.
In general, you know, and so
it's built on violence.
Well, that's true as well.
I guess what I'm thinking is what's going to work versus saying people won't listen to the alternative. You see what I'm saying? It's like he kind of threw it out there. Like,
what do you mean what's going to work? I mean,
when I say what's going to work, they're talking about what will be pushed to the masses and will be successful. We're talking about the violence and all that other stuff.
Cool.
But there's a piece in here where he also says y'all wouldn't listen to it anyway.
Would you watch the NFL if it turned into flag football?
Well, that's no. What the pro.
No, pro I'm, if be. I'm being honest, no.
That's, I'm just curious. You know what I mean?
If I'm being honest, no.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
I would watch hockey without the fights.
Yeah.
Say players couldn't slam into each other.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't inherently like change the game. I mean, it kind of does, actually. I guess it kind of does. But
for hockey, yeah.
But yeah, I'm just,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, would you, you know, and there are people who don't like football as much just because a large part of the violence has been taken out. You can't hit the you can't hit the quarterback. Used to be, you know, the quarterback was one of the most dangerous things to be out there. You could just throw him down on the ground, and it was like, that's how you play football. Like, remember the old NFL blitz game where after the play was over,
you'd slam them, spin them around, jump on them.
We used to love that too, by the way.
They took it out.
Yeah.
Because they sell the console now, but you can't do all that extra stuff that you used to be able to
they
do.
Took, yeah.
So you get Mutant League Football and you can, like, blow people up.
I forgot about
cause,
that.
You know why? Because no NFL. Like, now, I remember there was this, back in the day, you know, when Madden was kind of struggling, there was this game called NFL Game Day on the original PlayStation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, there were all these secret codes you could put in. And for whatever reason, the people who at Sony or 989 Studios, I remember the name of the studio, one of the secret codes was steroids, and it would give you a good, really good stiff arm
upgrade.
And the NFL found out about that, is like, if that's in there in the continued pressings, you got to take that out or you risk not having an NFL license or an NFLPA license ever again.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, the NFL, like, remember there used to be the game NFL Street?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were like, we don't want to confuse. We don't want to have the NFL and the street kind of on the same package anymore. So that's why you don't see that game. I remember they tried to, like, call it NFL Tour the next year, and it sucked. But
no.
Yeah. No.
I mean,
no more NFL Street, no more, you know, throwing people, no more. Remember the ambulance that used to come on the field in Madden?
Yep.
And it would knock the players over. You know, even though it was real cartoony at the time, the NFL was like, yeah, don't do that anymore.
Charleston White actually said on an interview that he did with King Von's DJ, the reason I acted a fool on your show is because I knew you needed content and I knew that our interview was so positive, nobody was going to watch it. He just said that the other day.
I mean, he hangs up on people if they join his video and they're on some positive.
Right.
He ends it. He's like, I ain't on no positive stuff. Mm. I'm trying. Like, he's trying to get views. So, I mean, that's Charleston White's character.
It goes to what, it kind of goes to that because.
It does.
It goes to exactly what he's talking about here because he openly said, I had to act a fool and do something because I knew the interview was too positive.
And he that's actually the era does. That what's crazy is people don't know. Charleston White causes all this commotion online, but outside of his online persona, he actually does positive things
in the community
for kids in the community. Yep. But you would never know that by seeing him online because he's this character that wants to get views, wants to go viral, this, that, and the third.
Right.
And it's reflective of, I wouldn't say music is just, or hip hop music is just about gaining views and going viral because this is what it was before that even existed.
That's true.
You know
what
I'm saying? So it's more so of there's different styles. Everybody doesn't rap about the same thing. Unfortunately, we're in a point in time right now where that's what's pushed forward. But if you really wanted to find something like that, I guess you could.
But yeah. Like I said, don't tell people like, yo, maybe you need to change up rap music. I was like, well, okay, let's talk.
But who's saying that though?
I don't know. The same people who always want to say change what's working.
Because ain't nobody telling people to stop talking about getting drunk and cheating on your wife and stuff in country music.
Ooh.
But take it out of that realm. You know, okay, nobody's saying, okay, how about we just do a year where we don't put out a Call of Duty video game?
No, I'm going to be upset about that.
Yeah, and how about it's just a year where, hey, you know, we put out Marvel movies that are just fully character-driven and have no action.
No R-rated films for a whole year.
Yeah, you know, even like I said, even PG-13 joints, like they just don't show all the blood, but the violence is still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. I mean, so if you said that to in any of, they'd be like, would you get out of here and leave us alone?
You can't really hope. I don't know. It's just weird. And this kind of goes back to what we were saying about this has pretty much been embedded in American culture forever.
Yeah.
Even back in the early 90s when Mortal Kombat came out.
Right. Man.
We couldn't wait to get the Mortal Kombat game to get it home and put in codes to make blood show up. Because remember
A-B-A-C-A-B-B.
At first,
A-C-A-B-B.
There blood didn't show up. You would just fight each other and the blood wouldn't show up like the arcade.
Yeah.
But we wanted to see the blood. So, I mean, that's just kind of embedded in
that's only the
our
90s.
Culture as a whole, essentially.
But it's also about market forces because, like, Nintendo thought, hey, we'll do the right thing and we'll take all the blood and the really gory fatalities out of and we'll seem like we're the responsible video game company compared to Sega. Mm. And when they saw the sales numbers come back and saw that Sega sold three times as many when it was time for Mortal Kombat 2 to come out,
yeah. I bet that
they had
was
all
in
the blood and all the fatalities
absolutely
in the game.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Long?
Just kind of echo the idea of, you know, just, I mean, we're a nation and a country that's built on violence.
Right.
You know, since our inception, and you know, we have a fascination with firearms in this country as well. You know, and you know, it's just this whole conversation in general is very much. I feel like it's inauthentic when somebody tries to target a specific genre or a specific movie or a specific anything because it's just the culture. It's just what it is in general. So that's why I asked you the question early on, like, where is this coming from? Is this coming from people that listen to hip hop and say, oh, we like positive hip hop or whatever, you know? Or is it coming from like somebody who's not even a part of it, who's just like, you know, throwing out, you know,
which
just trying to
lot
bring it down? Yeah, for
yeah
sure.
Which happens yeah a lot. Yeah, yeah right. That happens a lot. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Y'all actually made some great examples of stuff from the past and current. Like, you know, it's the culture. Like, was Terrence and you both said, it just is what it is. It's actually the culture.
So
you said Flex is corny.
He's mad corny.
I mean, but my boy said, basically, I don't care what y'all say, man. Y'all out here saying Gunna is cool, so I'm gonna start running the records.
Man, okay. Did so is it based on you actually want to play 6ix9ine records?
That's the question.
Or is it based on just because Gunna is doing whatever he's doing and people are up in arms about it? Is that the reason?
Because it
boils down to 6ix9ine doesn't have anything playable.
Right.
He's an internet troll,
mm-hmm.
and he's a radio troll. So I guess it's a perfect marriage at the end of the day. But I don't know, man. It kind of puts Flex in the same position that people have been talking about him about for years now. I mean, he had a beef with Pac after Pac was gone.
And Simba roasted him on that freestyle, too.
Yeah, he did. In his face. Yeah. Talk to him as a man in his face.
Talk to him as a man. We got... Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, we had to...
Yeah, it's a wrap for that today.
It's a wrap for that. Jay Moore, man. It's the snitching talk. Gunna out here. Gunna lost all his... Now, I don't know if this is real. Now, I just saw a screenshot. I think he lost the majority of his followers. Name is being mentioned in records. They said Lil Durk might have dissed him. What you think about Flex? Is Flex just... Is this just clout chasing,
we
man?
We need the loan...
You already know.
Interjection.
What? That I don't care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted the sound though. I like when you.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you got to understand. Flex is, and I can say this as somebody old, is an old man still trying to insert himself into young, relevant, quote unquote, pop rap business. He doesn't really care about any of this stuff.
Thanks, man.
At least he shouldn't. I mean, like, it's still weird to me, and like, his status is solidified.
He's a legend
but,
now.
But at the same time, it's just weird. Like, for him to be this old, still up here trying to do this.
Pulling straws for attention.
You know, I think it's...
Terry hit the nail on the head about the records. Like, what are the records that you're going to run?
You know, it'd be one thing if maybe 6ix9ine had something that was so undeniable that you had to play it, and now you've just been looking for an excuse. But that's not how 6ix9ine's music works. I mean, it just isn't good enough...
It's not John Blaze.
For you to be like...
It's not John Blaze.
I mean, it's just like we're trying to make excuses to play bad music that you're not interested in anyway. I don't know what his career prospects are going forward, especially if people start really going to jail and the paperwork starts to lead back to him. But I don't know. I'm not that versed in the case and the exact reasons why Gunner's got to go home. And everybody else is still sitting in jail. But, you know,
it's just
for him to even bring, for Funkmaster Flex to even bring up 6ix9ine, it's like, dude, you don't care like that.
Corny.
And, you know.
He wants New York to be on top so bad.
You're already on the radio every night in New York. All right. You don't have to do this. There are some people, they got to say stuff like this because they're trying to, you know, get whatever it is off the ground so they can be heard in, you know, market number 67. You are in market number one, yeah. And have a platform, and this is what you choose to do with it. It's just corny. And plus, like I said, you're not really playing. Nobody's really playing, you know, after Push and P ran its course. It's not like we're checking for Gunner like that anyway. People were talking about how his album was just okay before all this stuff happened. So the records aren't even there for us to be like, oh, what's Gunna going to do next? Well, unless he comes out with some straight, because if he comes out with some straight heat, all will be forgiven.
Will it?
You know what? I take that back. Once again, it depends on how many people wind up going to jail and what the pay. And if it looks like his paperwork came around to get some of those people convictions, because I know it's been said that like nothing he said and he admitted to is going to put anybody else in jail. But
We'll see how it plays out.
But once again, Funkmaster Flex doesn't care anything about 6ix9ine's music. This is just something for him to seem relevant. And it's like, dude, you are the legacy hip hop station in the number one market in America. You don't have to do this.
Terry, you said Terry, you mentioned that he wants to have, you said New York hip hop at the top so bad. You think that's...
Yeah, he's about to put a battery in 6ix9ine's back and carry a flag for him. That's ugly.
That is ugly.
There's a lot more artists in New York. Like, why don't you get behind Sky Zoo? Sky Zoo just dropped the album.
That's too much, like, right, though.
Yeah, play his records on the radio. Why are you so pressed to play 6ix9ine records? It makes no sense.
It goes back to what we just talked about, you know? What moves the needle?
I don't know. I think it's... I'm sitting here looking at the quote here. I just think it's a weird double standard that doesn't make any sense. Like...
You talking about Flex's quote?
Flex, yeah. So, like... He said, spoke to Jim Jones. He expressed that for him, there will be never be any tolerance for testifying and cooperating. In today's era, Jones and I may disagree on the why or why not the music should play of people who cooperate, but we both agree that times might have changed and integrity is fully lost. So I'm no longer not playing his music. So the interesting thing about that statement is, like, just because the culture is that way doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice your own integrity. And so for him saying that means that he's just like, well, I'm going to just jump in line with everybody else, because if nobody else has integrity, I don't have to have it either. So why do it? It's just like, you're corny, man. Just integrity isn't something that is like, you have integrity, you have integrity, I have integrity, Jay has integrity, everybody watching has integrity. It's not something that is like this big culmination of thing. Like, you get to decide where your parameters are. So I don't know. It just seems super corny to me.
I mean, nobody made him come out one and just say this so everybody can see it. So that's clout attached right there. And to your point about the integrity, you don't have to.
This is how you feel, then this is how you feel. But if it's not, then why are you caping for some invisible rule out there? Like, you have the control to do what you, if you wanted to play 6ix9ine's music before,
is
that suggesting that you always wanted to play it? You know,
that's a good question.
Or now you just like, well, the goalpost seems to have moved, so I guess I'll move with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest, that's the problem we have in society right now. Everybody just wants to go ahead and, you know, anytime they move the goalpost, it's like, all right, we'll just go ahead and move with the goalpost.
I like that one, Lone, where you said perhaps he may have been itching to play them joints and didn't feel comfortable about it. Now this is a fake out.
I don't even know if that's necessarily. I just don't think he has. I don't want to put him out there. I don't know flex like that, but it just doesn't seem like he has integrity.
It doesn't sound genuine at all, though.
Good,
huh?
His songs aren't that good.
Well, that too.
To be foaming at the mouth to play them on the radio.
I just think that this is a. Does he really care? Like, does,
no,
you know, I don't like, think so. Does he really care? Because it does. I don't feel like he does. So it's just a weird place to position yourself.
It strikes me as a wave, like riding a wave. Yeah, it strikes me as a wave. Seems like it's corny.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think it's corny when people clout chase and they have no reason to do so. And that's what I think that's my whole thing with Flex. It's like, here you are.
In control.
In complete control.
Complete control.
You know, you probably have more autonomy than almost any DJ who worked for a corporate entity, you know, because, like, if you didn't already know, basically, if you work for most stations and you're a mix show DJ, or you call yourself a mix show DJ, they're going to give you a list of songs to play. And if you deviate anywhere outside of this playlist, you could potentially be fired. I think because Flex has been there so long, if he really likes a record, right, he can just go ahead and play it. Like, that's the kind of autonomy he has. He's known for playing songs 8 times in a row. There's no way, of all the DJs that I know, you know, between St. Louis, Indianapolis, Chicago, if they did anything like that, they would be immediately fired. You know, so Flex can do what he wants as far as programming is concerned. Why he would even bring this up, like I said, you're at the top. You don't have to do what everybody else does. And True. So that's why it's just kind of baffling to me that he would just kind of insert himself into this is Atlanta business with Gunna and all this. He doesn't need to insert himself into any of this.
Yeah.
In true flex fashion, he inserted himself.
Drop a bomb on that.
You clown.
I couldn't hear what that one was.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. All right, man. Well, can we shout out our partners real quick?
Sure. Let's do that.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners, as always. We appreciate the support and continued support and partnership. Shout out to the chat. The chat is lit. Nicole is back and got this thing popping in the chat. We appreciate you. Welcome back. All right. Let's do Shad Moss is out here preaching to the community.
Okay.
The rap community, Jay Moore, from the pulpit. Maybe he might have been outside in the vestibule. I don't know. If you've been in church, you know what a vestibule is.
That way I'll probably usher in the church. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Why? Why you gotta be an usher?
We're in the choir. He's in the choir.
Director.
Well, you know, ushers gotta make sure people get to their seats properly and make sure people don't come in.
It's a worthy job to have.
Yeah,
it is. It's respectable.
You know, especially with what we're about to talk about.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Thanks, Long. Yeah. That's a good positive spin on that, my brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm trying to be the change that Benny isn't.
Bar of the night. Bar of the night. So Bow Wow says hip-hop needs a board no different than the NBA with the Players Association, a committee that can set rules and keep things in control and protect this thing we call hip-hop and have a retirement plan for the OG rappers. I hate seeing my heroes liquored out, no money, just washed.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So the difference between hip-hop and NBA is there's no company called hip-hop that is writing everybody that has a record deal a check. The NBA is a whole company, a billion-dollar company, that signs checks to all its players. So it's easy to create a union behind that because it's all coming from the same place. Same with every other job that has a union. So it's a good idea in theory, but how do you make that happen from people that are either a solo or don't have any kind of contract with anybody? The ones that are under record labels, the ones that are managed by people that might be under a whole nother umbrella. That in itself sounds like a mess that will never cultivate into something that everybody would agree upon. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, what you think, Long?
I would say that I would agree with what you're saying if in the way that everything is set up now. Because everything is set up now very top down from different companies and they're working directly with talent. But the change could come potentially if there is some sort of hip-hop entity, like a players union of sorts, right, to where the players go through them first and then they go out to wherever they go to. Now, will that ever happen or is it super complicated? Yeah, of course, because right now the way everything is set up, it doesn't make any sense because it's labels picking artists out and doing whatever they do. But let's say there was a hip-hop entity and Jay-Z was on it and, you know, all of Cash Money was on it and Drake was on it and all this other stuff. And every artist that was potentially going to sign a deal, this particular union, as we would call it, I guess, dealt directly with the record label companies. Then maybe if the artist, before they went and did that, maybe they went to hip hop, right? And then they were somehow under that umbrella. I don't know. I feel like it's not like completely like, oh, this could never happen. I just don't feel like we are structured in a way and we are conditioned in a way to even think that something like that could ever happen here.
Because like, is there even, outside of hip-hop, is there a union with just artists in general on these record labels?
No.
Not even just saying hip-hop. Like,
To my knowledge, no.
It's not even like with, say, actors. There's a Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much just having a card, essentially.
You know, but you basically have to pay into that union. I remember hearing a story about, of all people, Dick Gregory. He wound up being in some Rob Schneider movie that Rob Schneider had seen him on something and said, hey, I'd love to have Dick Gregory in the movie. We could give him a small role.
Right.
And because of that, you know, Dick Gregory had health insurance for the first time in years, you know, because he was active in the union. Even though he didn't get paid a lot for the particular role, he was able to get insurance. You know, maybe if there's something like that, like if you start making records and say you finally register your music with ASCAP or BMI or whatever, there's also a step to where a certain, say even it's just a half of a percent of your generated income goes to paying your way into the Hip Hop Association dues retirement fund. You know, I completely made up that organization just on the fly. And then, you know, that money goes into, you know, insurance, paying into some sort of end of life benefit, just so we don't have to have GoFundMes pay for rappers' funerals.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there could be something like that, but everyone would have to opt in.
Exactly.
And there are people who are going to be like, no, I'm taking care of my own business. I'm doing
Or I need a new chain. I'm not paying.
You know,
there we go.
Or, you know, unless
there would have to be other benefits outside of just like paying for stuff, right? It would have to
because
be like,
the thing with the Screen Actors Guild, which is solid, is like, for example, during COVID, nobody was acting. So they were able to still live because of the Screen Actors Guild, essentially, if they need to go to the doctor or whatnot and get a small stipend or whatever.
Good point.
But with music, they can continue to make music through whatever, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But also think about, like, the music industry is crazy. And it's like, it's cutthroat. And so, like, there would have to be a very, very major change in culture for anything like this to even be, breathed upon. Because it's like, it's not just the labels, but it's also like...
The artists.
It's also the distribution platforms.
The publishing platforms.
It's like, there's so many moving parts and it's already super complicated anyways.
The streaming platforms.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's super, super complicated. But it doesn't mean that it can't be tackled. It would just, if everybody did get on board, if it became as standard as 10 years ago, not everybody was putting their music on iTunes and Apple right away. I mean, most people were, right? But now everybody is into streaming because that's the way it is. But if every artist knew, just like you have to go through a DistroKid or you have to go through whatever, that, okay, another one of my steps after that isn't just SoundExchange and SongTrust and ASCAP, but I need to register on here and become a part of this, then maybe it becomes something like a players association or something like that, to where you can bargain with, like, hey, we don't like getting 0.000007 cents every stream. We want 0.0005, like, maybe that conversation can be had at the behest of everybody a part of a specific thing. I don't think it's like super, super crazy out there, but it would take a lot.
It's, to me, I think what scares even the hip hop veterans or the OGs, because people like Chuck D have talked about this. LL Cool J talks about this all the time.
Jay-Z talks about it.
Jay-Z talks about it. But Lone, you said something earlier. You were talking about an idea always sounds good. Right. I think what you just described in terms of how difficult this is, the possibility of this could be, I think that's one of the main things that scares people, or scares Hov and Chuck when they all get together, is the fact that how much is going to take and how many moving parts are going to be involved to get this to happen.
And who's going
to
be over it?
Who's going to be over it?
Someone will be like, I don't want Jay-Z watching the money. I don't want Chuck D watching the money. I don't want so-and-so watching the money. And there's always going to be a level of infighting that, comes from, but that happens with any union.
Business structure, all that. So those conversations happen.
Don't
want
to opt into that union, because imagine Drake is making all this money, and then you got this other artist that's not making nowhere near the amount as Drake is, and he doesn't want to pay in to the union
for sure
like that, because he's not making the same amount of money. Essentially, the union is going to help him more than it's going to help Drake. But at the end of the day,
that's how it works. The union helped out those small act, with those smaller actors. Denzel has been getting $20 million a movie for the last 20 years. COVID didn't hit him the same way it hit like a day player or somebody who's, just shows up and, is a character actor, and that we see him all the time, but we may not even know their name.
Terry made a good point as it relates to Drake, because, do you love is this something that you love so much that you want to sow into to help other people out? Are there a lot of top tier artists that really want to take that and sow into it so it can be dispersed to the people that need it? Or are they just like, man?
Well, it's not just like, I think the framing, the idea isn't just like, it's not just like signing up so you can create a pot of money. It's creating, it's creating equity. It's adjusting the power structure of what everything is, right? So you have to buy into the idea of, one, that you're going to be, this is one of, what's the saying, change happens when old men who make plant trees that they'll never see or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be a long-term type of thing for the change that you want to see for the genre that you're a part of or the culture that you're a part of in the long term. So it's going to take something like that. And maybe Drake doesn't join. That's okay. But maybe these other 500 people do. There's always going to be people that aren't a part of, what it is. But, I think having the option to or to create that in particular manner, I think would be, I think it's something that's kind of cool in general. If you can, if you have the people that are willing to take it on,
That part.
Ideally, it is silent, but it's just a lot of moving parts.
But it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing. I mentioned this again on the show that I was on, but it's like our
soul, we see you.
But our corporations in the country, they reflect what our society is. And if our society is extremely capitalist in nature, with it, which it is, then all of the business entities are going to reflect that as well. And all the issues that reflect that we have in society, which are, you know, if we look at societal problems or let's say racism within organizations or other stuff, right? anything that happens within our society also happens within organizations. So it's like, it's reflective of that. And us being a very hyper-capitalist society, that, you know, kind of fringes at the idea of a socialist idea of a union. It's hard to overcome just in other businesses that aren't as like hip hop's like so interesting. Cause it's not like one business entity that owns it. It's not like a Starbucks, you know what I mean?
Nope.
So the fact that like, there's still legislation, there's still pushback against like labor unions now, and there's agitprop against it and all this other stuff, like, in regular stuff, you know, like, it's going to be that much harder going up against probably one of the biggest corporations in the world, which is the corporation of the music industry.
The music entertainment industry.
Yeah.
The thing is, you're always going to, there's always going to be bumps and bruises along the way. If something, I don't know if you guys remember in like Tecmo Super Bowl, where like, if you played as the Bills, you didn't play as Jim Kelly, you played as QB Bills.
Yeah.
You didn't play as Randall Cunningham. That. You played as QB Eagles. It was because at one point, there are certain players who separated themselves from the NFLPA. And they were like, we want to do our own licensing deals. That's where you wind up getting the, you know, NFL quarterback club, you know, because those particular quarterbacks, they was like, we don't want to be lumped in with every other player. We feel like we have enough power to cut our own deals.
Right.
You know, now basically with the licensing, like, you don't see that anymore. Like, everybody gets
Charles Barkley,
money.
Reggie Miller. Jordan was like that early.
Just like in the initial NBA Live games, you didn't have Jordan. You didn't
Player
have,
23.
You didn't have Barkley. Eventually, Shaq signed a deal, and he was, you know, he wound up being back in the game. So there was a short time where there's no, just like when you play the old NBA Jam, big as that game was, Michael Jordan wasn't in it because he had his own deal. They would have had to pay him his own fee to be in the game.
For the record.
So like, he didn't want the union deal. And so there's going to be rappers like that.
For sure.
Well, they better get like T Grizzly and drive an Uber and be a waiter and a registered nurse on the side. Because it's real out here, evidently.
But also, there was a part that Bawa said about a board. I don't know if you had to get your certificate of appropriateness from a certain board of rap. I mean, it's like, because I know there are a lot of rappers that be like, I'll be damned if I got to run my lyrics and behavior by Bow Wow before I start doing stuff.
No, first of all, Bow Wow is not going to be a board member.
It's his idea.
It's his idea. What if he says, I would like to be on the board?
Well,
and since I submitted this and he gets enough votes to where, look, he might be able to, he might be able to George Santos' thing.
You got
to
respect it.
Do I have to respect
it? You got to respect it.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Well, you say Clarence. What was his name?
George Santos.
Well, he changed his name multiple times.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
He also went to school on a volleyball scholarship.
Oh.
Hey, man, here's the board. We get Chuck D. We get Bun B. We get David Banner. Killer Mike on there.
Okay.
Jay-Z would just be a plus because he's a capitalist. So you got that in there a little bit.
Do we want Puff?
I feel like you need Puff or Jay. You could have both, maybe.
I'm going to take Jay.
Maybe.
Okay, but say, what did they say? It was like, Okay, say, remember it was a few years ago, and they, like, Lil Wayne had, he had a song with Future, and he said, he had a real distasteful bar about Emmett Till.
I remember
as
that.
A punchline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, like, would our hip-hop board have pulled him to the side and said, you know, we're not going to do that? Or, like, the time...
Would Wayne listen if they pulled him to the side?
Or the time when, like, Nicki Minaj on some song, she decided she would put Malcolm X on the cover of, like, not a song that had nothing to do with Malcolm X or even the spirit of what he would... Like, do we
I feel
make
like
those kind of calls?
I feel like that's going too far left. I think this is just...
Monetarily.
This is just bargaining power... This is literally just bargaining power with the higher entities. I think that's all it is. Because I don't think you can police that. I don't think you can police what goes into it. Because
that would go back to what Benny was talking about, essentially, because he would be essentially have a strike or go on strike.
Yeah.
Essentially like, in the union based on his lyrics.
Where yeah,
like,
go.
Where it's like, okay, there are 42 crack references.
Yeah, I don't think
we you're talking about Pusha T.
No, I mean, we just want to say anybody. Okay. And let's see, the board has determined you can only have 35 yeah. crack references nah. on your album.
I don't think it's that.
That right there would turn people away. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's too much policing.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just bargaining power. I think it's just bargaining power and leveraging.
The artists don't have any leverage. Yeah. So to Lone's point, it would be more about that. And another thing,
maybe it's not even a hip hop thing. Maybe it's just a music industry thing too.
Because he said, I hate seeing my heroes liquored up or out no money or just washed. So without money,
that happens with every profession. I mean, essentially, I mean, you got, unfortunately, the armed forces. A lot of them have PTSD when they come back from over there.
That's true.
And the government does not take care of them at all. They're on the side of the road with a sign.
I mean,
ask for money.
I mean,
and your favorite basketball player might have spent all his money on child support and
exactly.
and bad restaurant ideas. I mean, like,
he ain't lying though.
Like that's what it's what happens. Like it's like somebody, like people, like you know, you. It's easy to get rich, but it's easy to also get back to being poor after yeah. you're rich.
I think the overarching conversation that we're actually having here is just how I'm gonna go there again.
Let's go.
But it's like. Would Bow Wow, would a lot of these artists that have these issues later on in life, let's say with healthcare and we don't even have like socialized medicine in this country, right? Right. So I feel like a lot of these arguments we're trying to, you know, what Bow Wow is suggesting here is literally a form of socialism or a part of it. And
we know how they feel about that.
For sure, right? And so that's why it would automatically... it would be extremely hard to even form. But I mean, like, if we had social, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
social resources.
Resources and like things in places to where.
Not even for hip hop artists, just for people.
Just for people in general. If we had socialized medicine to the point to where, like, if you're sick, you can go to the doctor and then not be in poverty afterwards, that would help all of this, right? If we had different types of things in place. Along those lines, then this conversation switches a little bit. So to me, it always goes back to we're a capitalist, super capitalist driven society, and it's going to be hard to change anything if we are still stuck in that realm. So
the next big rap group is going to be called Under the Union, the Social Capitalists.
Nice. Nice.
Social capitalists.
Yeah.
We call those democratic socialists. Or actually, there's a word for that. Norwegian.
Oh my Norwegian. God, man.
I'm serious though.
Norwegian,
like,
yes.
Norwegian. I forget what it's like. I'm half drawing a blank right now, but there's a word for it. Social Democrats is what they call them. Anyways.
An interview I saw with LL one time on Rock the Bells was health benefits. Like kind of like what you were just talking about. And I think a lot of this, the majority of it, well, not the majority, but a big portion could be just as simple as OGs being able to take care of themselves and go to the doctor. Like
But imagine if we had socialized.
I get that part.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I get that part.
Our country.
You know, but like, so
it's just the fact that LL actually mentioned that part, the importance of that for right. somebody like.
And he's rich.
He's rich, but he's like, he's thinking of the OGs and the elders that preceded him that might have certain issues. I ain't saying all of them are broke, but he just was like, yo, I know people that were out that influenced me that were older than me. That can't do certain things now because there's nothing in place for them to get aid to do it.
I'm gonna tell you, and these are legends. Be in the union.
Yeah, Social Security.
Academics. Yeah, yeah. Academics is not going to be in that
no,
union.
No, we can't.
Remember, he talked bad about the OGs that didn't have money.
Well, apparently he's only talking about one person, but he won't put a name on
it. Bro, I saw him got extreme. He got dragged by Hassan Piker.
Again?
In a debate. No, it was the same. This is what I'm talking about. He got dragged on him. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
Some people,
like it would be great if there's a 55-year-old rapper, I should just be able to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Just like a 55-year-old retired school teacher should be able to go to the doctor. Or somebody that works at Wendy's. You know what I mean?
You know, but you know, in this, unfortunately, we have people in our society who feel like, look, you didn't work hard enough. You don't deserve to go to the doctor. You know, like that's. that's kind of where this mentality is, like where, you know, the whole, I hate to get, not to get political, but, you know, that's why in certain places they didn't want to expand, you know, Medicaid coverage, because it was like those people, if they want health care, they'll find a way to get it, you know. And even if we got to close a bunch
of hospitals, we know the history
even
of,
if we close
Medicaid.
A bunch of hospitals, we're going to go ahead and we'll make our point that way, yeah, instead of actually just taking the expansion and make sure people can.
Or a doctor is not treating you based on all of that. That's but tough. I ain't even gonna get into that subject, because that's kind of touchy
for me.
Yeah,
that's you know, but it's just, it really is a thing to where it's a great, like, say somebody, you know, we start the idea now and it goes in 20 years, it could be a real thing. Because, right, like, I think that's where a lot of people would get discouraged if all of a sudden, okay, we're going to do this union. You pay one half or 1% of whatever that you make into this pot, and it helps out somebody, you know, at the end of their life. And, like, you're not seeing it work for you right now. So you get discouraged and you're like, man, let's not do that. And, but you don't realize it, like, you know, rich homie Quan's going to be in his 50s, you know, and if you'd have just paid into the union, you'd have been straight in 20 years. You know, we in a world of instant gratification, we don't see something pay off right here and right now, where we're like, it didn't work. We don't realize the result.
Too.
Just like you said, the old man planting the tree that he's never going to see.
Yep.
Like the NFL union fight these cases from these old players.
True.
NBA players too. Yep. I mean, a lot of those,
it get messy too,
those players that were like in the ABA and NBA that are,
because they're
in that situation now to where they're looking for money, these organizations are fighting their cases.
Yep.
Because the players,
not to pay it.
The players union is for current players, not former union. Mm. So they don't, they're not, as far as they're concerned, those people are outsiders asking for money.
I mean, they're supposed to have pensions.
Supposed to.
Essentially, if you're in the union and you worked somewhere for a long enough time, that comes with a pension. And that pension is supposed to take care of you. So if they're not paying out pensions, then, yeah, I mean, it took you quite a
I had to find
long
a button,
time,
man. Come on, man.
It's all good.
You know, these ads
anyway,
pop it up.
Yeah. If they're not paying the pensions and they're fighting the pensions in court, I mean.
Well, yeah, that's a problem. You know, once again, it's the growing pains of anything like this.
Going against the establishment of what we have.
Now it comes back down to the root problem.
Yeah, it's capitalism.
Capitalism.
I mean, it is.
Shout out to Brad.
You have people.
But it really
it
is.
It really is, because, like, say, like, someone can afford 10 Rolls Royces. Like, if you come to them and say, hey, can you just do it with 9? They'd be like, what kind of socialist are you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how, that's really who, you know, when you look at our.
And that's
know,
not even socialism, though. Like,
yeah.
it's not even like, that's not even what it is. There's just such a bastardization of what the idea is.
Everything has to have a profit model.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have a profit, you know, except the police and the military. No one ever asks what's the profit model for, you know, but when if it's anything else that just benefits regular people, it's like, well, this is like even the post office. It's people are like, well, the post office loses money. It's like the post office wasn't set up to make money.
Yeah, right,
that's the difference.
It's set up to provide a service for people, and to make their, you know, get them their medicine on time.
Which,
you know, like, we
which
can't
is,
be thinking about a
the
profit
way,
model.
Which is the way healthcare should be.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's, we pay into it. You know, all right. Yeah. So we pay a little bit less on policing and destroying the world, and we pay a little bit to the people at home that are sick.
Absolutely.
Other countries do it
all
like,
the time,
like,
or a little less tax even.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Just a little
you know,
less.
I mean, there's ways we can cut back.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, cut back to make it work.
Well, but you see where they don't cut back, and see that's where the issue is.
Capitalism.
Yeah. Military.
Yeah.
You see how, like,
military,
they
policing.
Have, you know, how in New York, they're always going to find money for, you know, to pay overtime for the police. But you know,
oh, they found money to bail out these banks too.
But they're putting a good. But you say, hey, can we keep this clinic open for
absolutely
sick children?
Not.
They'd be like,
I don't know if we got the funds for that.
Where are we going to get that money? You know, what's the profit model for helping sick children?
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
I got to eat breakfast today. I'm gonna help you.
That's it.
At the end of the day, loan, it always comes back around to.
It always comes back around to
the
C word,
to the crazy C word. Because the thing in capitalism. Last thing I'll say is capital is one job.
Uh-huh.
No matter what job you work for under capitalism, it's to make the most money with the least amount of labor, no matter what. And so
apply it anywhere.
No matter what job you work for, it can be your homie, it could be everything. The goal is always to make the most money, without the least, with the least amount of labor, and that's the driving factor. So no matter what, that's always on the chopping block.
But this is the thing. I will say
Bernie Madoff was the king of it.
Where we talk about
shout out to loan stocks.
Capitalism. I heard some of that. Don't attribute it to me, but I don't remember where I heard it from. Capitalism is great for things that you want.
Yeah.
But capitalism is terrible for things that you need. You know, so I can go out, like, if my TV breaks tomorrow, I'm not going to take it to a TV repairman because I can get another 55-inch TV with smart apps and all this stuff for $300. And, you know, as opposed to, like, maybe a few, remember everyone a few years ago would be like, man, I'm going to go to Best Buy on the night before or day after Thanksgiving, get myself a flat. It was an opportunity.
Man, some people buy a new TV every year.
Exactly. And so, but, you know, when you talk about
weird
insulin. And the fact that, like, there are people in, you know, who are against capping the price of insulin, something that was sold a patent for no money, basically.
Facts.
And they've just been raising the price because they can.
Yeah.
Like, that's capitalism that's really going, you know, because those
that's what crappy
that's
human
what
being.
People need. And then there are people who literally fought against $35 capped insulin.
Yeah, you just trash if you. If that's your stance at this point, you just
trying to be in at that point. It's like if you've taken the money from people who want to charge, like, but once again, that's capitalism, isn't it? When somebody is like, no, see, if we can charge $350 for insulin, then that means we can put money into your political campaign.
Wasn't that Shkreli? Who's the dude that
AIDS was it AIDS medicine?
Yeah,
it was. It was insulin. I think it was insulin.
It was HIV
medicine. I thought
it
was
HIV. Oh, okay. My bad.
He's got AIDS.
Oh, okay. I could have swore it was insulin.
I thought so too.
No, this everybody, Pfizer, everybody wanted to charge him as much from insulin as possible, which is, you know, like I said, was a real dirtbag thing to do because that's again they didn't pay anything.
Look alone,
they didn't pay anything for the patent.
It was crazy. Did you remember when Elon Musk thought that it was good to chart, you know, the verified stuff, and they made the fake Eli Lilly account that was like, we've dropped all the prices. There's no cap, or there's like no cap on insulin. And
he's like, insulin is like $15 or something.
Something like that. And like,
it drove down the price of Eli Lilly stock.
They lost like $8 billion in stock or something just from a fake $8 account or something. Yeah,
wow.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well.
Yeah. But anyways.
America.
Mm-hmm. That's what your $8 get you.
Boosie commented on Flex and said, stick to it, Flex. We need this band, B-A-N-D. We need this band, All Them Rats.
You just wanted to read that.
You just wanted to read.
I did.
Stick to
it.
Quote.
Stick to it, Flex. We need this band, All Them Rats. So he's out on 6ix9ine's music being played as well.
There was
Flex.
A time that happened, like online culture, where people just decided to not use punctuation anymore.
Yeah.
And it really confused me for a very long time.
Well, Twitter was, what you mean, was part of that too, because you can only fit so many characters so in a tweet.
Like, but I'm not going to waste all that. Yeah, I'm a character on that. A comma.
So reread this. This
the
Boosie quote.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's
stick to it, Flex.
Period.
Oh, sorry.
Or
okay.
Comma.
Stick to it, Flex.
Period.
We need this band.
Period.
All Them Rats.
Yep.
Period.
Three sentences, but he had no punctuation. So if you don't know any better, it's super confusing.
Man, I'm confused.
I don't know if he's supporting Flex
he
or against
him.
I don't know.
He definitely didn't mean to say band.
I think he meant to say
band.
Band.
B-A-N-N-E-D.
That.
But it still doesn't make sense because stick to it, Flex. We need this band.
We need to disband all them rats. All them rats.
I think that doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. No, like I said,
this is where he was going. Stick to it, Flex. We need to ban all them rats. I think
need
that
to
was the
ban.
Goal.
Ban all the rats.
But how's he saying
all them rats?
But how's he saying stick to it, Flex? When Flex is like, well, since the rules have changed, I'm just going to play the rats.
He got to drop the D off the band.
Is
though,
that is he that all
need
he needs to do
either?
Or any of this can be out of
we
there
need
too.
Two. So we're grading his paper at this point. So red mark through the this.
Mm-hmm.
Write the two at the top. Mark the D off the back of the band.
Add punctuation
on them rats. And then
so after doing all of that.
I mean,
stupid. I mean, it's more
passable.
Coherent.
Is he saying
that's what I was about to ask?
Is he just saying, hey Flex, just don't play any of them? Or is he saying, hey Flex, just play all of them?
No, he's saying don't play any of the rats.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't. You said passing, like what we doing? Like a C minus on this after all the corrections?
If it's correct, if he had wrote it correctly, he would have got a C plus.
But what are we going to do with this after all the red marks?
That's still really bad grammar.
I mean, it is. But he said he's passing. He would have had to add the punctuation too, though.
I think it's just wild when you see people write the exact same way that they talk.
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Just like,
What he's talking about.
Like, there are times where, like, if you just played me three or four Boosie sentences, I wouldn't know what was going on, even though he's speaking English.
Yeah. Well,
Look, they corrected it up there actually at the top.
Oh, they did, yeah.
I don't need. It's confusing. The whole this is throwing me off.
Jermaine Dupri says hip hop is hurting and needs reviving.
Oh man, this dude was out here with an interview with
So Vibe. So Def is out here in the news, ain't they?
Man, they out here.
Bow Wow, you got Jermaine Dupri.
So he says, I feel like hip hop is definitely hurting and needs reviving. I have to go ahead and say this. For the last 20 years, Atlanta always had at least 5 or 6 of the top rappers at one time. Right now, Atlanta's dropped down to 2 top artists, Lil Baby and Future. He said, there's a lot of talent in the city still. I don't want anybody to screw what I'm saying, but the top tier.
Screw what I'm saying? We were just having this.
That's what he said.
Is that what it says? Okay.
Terry, is that what that say?
That's what it says.
That's what. Thank you. Right, well, why you say it like you wanted me to be wrong?
If we're using the red pen, it's skew.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, well, since we're grading papers, you're right, Long.
It could be transcribed wrong. You never know. That might be what he said, and that's not what was written.
People do mess up.
Is this like a tweet or something?
No, this is like a quotation. Yeah, this is a quote.
Man. They could have messed it up. Man.
But he's saying, but the top tier is where you have Ludacris, Jeezy, 2 Chainz, Migos, Future, Lil Baby. I mean, at one point, all of this was Atlanta. This is where all the top tier rap artists came from. He said, I'm not talking.
But those aren't the same. That's not the same argument. You can't say hip hop is hurting
Atlanta,
and then say the hip. Come on, man. This kind of goes back to the conversation we had about the East Coast being upset that they don't have the torch right now.
Is the quote hip hop is hurting, or that Atlanta hip hop is hurting?
Hip hop
is hurting and needs reviving. Is what it says.
So basically, so what he's saying is, since Atlanta isn't how it's quote unquote been, hip hop is hurting.
Nah, that's cap.
That's cap, man. That's 100% cap. That's extra bias, because just because the pulse isn't what you think it is for Atlanta, you're just going to jump out and say hip-hop,
you know,
is hurting.
What that is?
What's that?
Atlanta capitalism.
Tough.
He's trying to have a chokehold on it.
What you say, Long? With the least amount of work.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they mad that Memphis is getting their shine right now, I guess. I don't know.
That's a pretty big statement, man, just because Atlanta doesn't have all the top rappers currently, that it's getting stale, quote unquote.
That's not how that works.
That's kind of lame, actually.
I'm not talking about artists that just make records, but number one songs, artists that people feel like define the game. Rap to me become a little stale. But I never stopped making rap records. He said, as a producer, people continue to want me to produce R&B records. And he mentioned that him and Currency got a project.
He kind of all over the place. Currency ain't from Atlanta.
So from New Orleans, right?
New Orleans.
I just think this, once again,
this is cap,
you can get old. And I'm not saying, I'm calling him old.
It's cap.
And the thing is, like, just because you don't feel like you have your thumb on the pulse of the culture, then there must be something wrong with it. It's like, there's just people out there you don't know about, you're not aware of. It's just like that when, you know, people talking about how R&B is dead. It's like, no, you just don't pay attention to what's going on, and because
it's still out there.
It's not something that you listen to every day, and you still listening to R&B from the 90s, and you still being like, man, remember Faith and Jodeci and New Edition. Like, I love all those artists, but there's still people out here
who
are doing it. And just because it's not right in your face right now, it doesn't mean it's so that it's the same. It's the same thing.
I'm a JD fan.
I have no problem.
Yeah, I'm a fan of JD.
Yeah, I have no problem with JD.
But this has nothing to do with that.
But
no, what I'm saying,
it has to do with the fact that, like, just because, you know, he talked about Ludacris and Future. Like, he talked about 25 in the people, you know, he talked about 25 years of music.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So you just got to understand that, like, the people who are out here doing it now, it's not, it's just not, just because it's not in your face and it's not what you've been dancing to when you go out, it's because you're old. Still play the music that you like, and it's not, and it's from another era.
Well, he said there's a lot of talent.
Geographically, they're the sound has evolved to where there's no borders on who's prevalent, essentially. So, of course, Atlanta is always going to be a hub, no matter what's going on. You can't take that away from the city, essentially. But just because they're not at the top of the game like you want them to be does not mean that hip-hop or rap is hurting it anyway.
And the only reason I said I fool with JD because I do think he's a legend and he's underrated. But you also got to be able to call a spade. And this is really like, this is actually like arrogant that you think the pulse is that, the pulse in your city is just that powerful to just put it all over hip hop. That ain't it, bro.
Unless it's a really bad misquote.
Could be that. You know? Yeah. Could be taken out of context.
So
that
we
happens
might have to
a
put
lot.
An asterisk on this conversation.
Because if he's talking about Atlanta hip hop, then yeah, okay, maybe it makes sense. But if he's talking about hip hop in general, then
yeah,
no,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. And sometimes there's stuff that comes out and we say things or read something, and then I was misquoted or something comes out to clarify.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, he love Atlanta now. He always rep Atlanta, as he should. But come on, man. Over the whole culture? Nah.
You know, and Jeezy put out music this year. You know what I'm saying? Or not,
yeah.
In you know.
Or last year.
Last year. You know, 2022, rather.
Yeah.
You know.
The end of the year.
Where's Jid from?
He's from Atlanta.
He's from Atlanta.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just because Jermaine Dupri is not up on Jid, you know, that's a cultural blind spot he might have.
Exactly.
He said not
right artists, up under your nose.
He said artists, not just artists that just make records, but number one songs. So to the point about Jid, it's like Jid had a dope album.
Yeah, that
did
is
he have number one records though.
Yeah, that's absolutely on some kind of elitist type stuff.
Right,
you
right.
You want
right.
Your city to have the number one at all times.
And it doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter at all. Ludacris is from Chicago. At the end of the day,
there we go.
Well, that's true. That is true. Everybody else he mentioned was
Brad's from Chicago as well.
Sure is. Also, Def really out here.
Bower Wower's from Ohio.
All right.
All right, y'all. We appreciate the support as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. Did I almost curse?
You did.
You see it, like it, subscribe, purchase, share, retweet, all of that. We really appreciate the support. Shout out to the chat. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yep.
In a minute.
So long.